I'm Nuno Gomes, and this is Próxima Jornada.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 2 of the Próxima Jornada podcast with me, Adam Barton. Now, today's episode will be the interview that we recently conducted with SC Firenze's Ryan Gold, and it was a great experience to get in the mind of an intelligent, supremely talented footballer. He, at just 24 years of age, has already been through so much, moving to Portugal at a young age, and sort of taking that decision, a leap of faith, to move to a new country to learn a new language. And when things didn't go well, to go out on loan and sort of develop as not only as a footballer, but as a person. It's a fantastic interview, and that's a credit to Ryan. He's very honest and he's very frank about his assessment on himself, his decisions, and also his experiences. Just a word on the audio quality. It was a phone conversation on loudspeaker recorded between myself and Ryan. It wasn't initially intended to be released as a podcast, but just as a written interview, which you can read now on prosima-jornada.com. However, I've went through the process of re-recording my questions, and also I've tried to clean Ryan's audio as best as I can. Ryan was travelling at the time, so it was on loudspeaker, so there's bound to be interference in the background, and there's times when his audio goes a little bit quiet and then it might shoot up in volume, so I do apologise for that, but it shouldn't detract from the quality of the interview. He, as I say, was a fantastic guest, and I won't give too much of the interview away. I hope that you enjoy it. Thank you again to Ryan and Ryan's team for allowing it to happen, and thank you for listening. So first of all, Ryan, I'd like to just get your perspective on how you feel the season's going so far. It's Firenze's first in the top flight since 2001-02. You recently got your first victory against Boavista, a 3-1 win, and a very good win at that. But just from my perspective, I feel like Firenze have been in a lot of games. They've, you know, right up until the final whistle, and then for one reason or another, have ended up coming away with nothing. How do you see the season so far, and what do you think the key areas to improve on going forward?
I think that we finally got our first win on Sunday, and I think it was long overdue. Because we've been playing really well ever since the first game. Like, the first game was different. We conceded in the first minute, and we went down to 10 at the start of the second half. But the results have been really harsh on us because we've been in every single game we've played, even like away against Benfica. So it's definitely been coming. Because there was a lot of new faces in the squad as well, a lot of new boys, and the more we're, you know, getting time on the pitch together, then you can see by the performances that we've grown, and thankfully we were able to get our first win.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, that's a very fair assessment, and to be honest, I think in football it is like that. It's sometimes you feel like every decision is going against your club week in, week out, and then sometimes you can't believe your luck. I think in Firenze's case, it's just hoping that it's swings and roundabouts type of thing, and it comes back in the middle or the end of the season where decisions start going for the club in their favour. And, you know, that obviously affects team performance and where you are in the table. Football's decided on those moments. So, yeah, and even just hearing you speak about the squad itself, you know, there's undoubted quality in that squad. We saw that last season with the promotion push, and then obviously a lot of new faces have came in, so I don't doubt there'll be plenty more good results coming Firenze's way and slowly move up the table. So we spoke a little bit about where you are at the moment, playing for Firenze and putting in great performances week in, week out, but I'd like to just go back to your initial decision to come to Portugal. You joined Sporting after, you know, bursting onto the scene for Dundee United. Came onto the scene as a 16, 17-year-old, putting in the type of performances that were linking you with clubs like Liverpool and Manchester United, other Premier League clubs with interest as well. But the decision to come to Portugal, to want to play for Sporting, to want to say, right, I'm going to Lisbon, that's where I'm going to play my football, certainly not a safe option. We see it a bit more today in 2020 with British players, but I just want to get what motivated you to make that decision, because it certainly wasn't the easy option.
Well, to be honest, I've ever since I can kind of remember, like back to 12, 13 years old, I always wanted to play abroad in Europe if I got the chance. And when I started doing well at United, there was a lot of clubs interested, like you said, Man United and stuff, but there was actually no, as far as I'm aware, there was no concrete offers, apart from the offer from Sporting. And when I heard about the offer, you know, when my ambition was always to play abroad, so I was very eager from the start, and I've been asked quite a lot if, because things didn't work out great at Sporting, I've been asked quite a lot if I regret the move. But as it's, I think the same every time, like when that offer came in, it was what I wanted to do, and it was a chance that I didn't know if I was ever going to get the opportunity to play abroad again. So when the opportunity came, I grabbed it with both hands and took me here.
That's fascinating to hear that it's always sort of been there. You've had this burning desire to go and play in Europe and to go and play abroad since before you were even kicking on at Dundee United. And do you think that's got something to do perhaps with your playing style? You take a player like yourself, you know, tremendous technical ability. You've got a low centre of gravity, quite small in terms of, you know, stature and size. And a player like yourself doesn't rely too much on the physical attributes of the game, but more your skill set, and I say your technical ability. Whereas our preconceptions of those type of players are that they play, you know, in the likes of Portugal, the likes of Spain, where they focus perhaps a bit more on the technical side rather than the physical. Was that, do you think that was a factor in your decision to go abroad?
I did look at that side of it, I suppose, yeah, because I watched a lot of the way Xavi and Iniesta would play. And you didn't see too many players like that, you know, like small, more technical players. You didn't see too many of them playing in Scotland and England. And so, like, I watched a lot of their games. I watched a lot of Spanish football, Italian football. And it's hard to say what it was, but I really liked watching it. And ever since way back then, and kind of, like I was saying, watching Xavi and Iniesta, kind of got the idea in my head that I would like to try and play abroad and, you know, see how I could get on, see how I could progress.
I think you can definitely see that in the game, in your game. You can see those influences on the way you play, your style of play. And you mentioned there about not having any regrets about moving to Sporting. They were the club that gave you your first opportunity in Portugal. Now, I just want to talk about the loan moves, because I think they play a crucial part in your career. The original move at Sporting might not have went to plan. And just for the listeners at home, Ryan joined Sporting in 2014. He was then loaned out for the 2016-17 season to Vitória Setúbal, who were playing in the Primeira Liga at the time. He was then loaned to Desportivo Aves the following season, 2017-18 season. And he also spent time on loan at Ferenc, who are obviously his permanent club now, after he made that transfer permanent in 2019. So, Ryan, what did you learn from those loan moves? Because I imagine there was a stark contrast, both on and off the pitch. You know, settling into a new environment, meeting new players, meeting new people. And also, the two clubs that are outside of the big three, and we know the financial disparity between the top and the bottom clubs, shall we say. So what did you learn from those loan moves?
I was initially leaving just to try and get the opportunity to play first league football. I learned a lot in terms of at Sporting. You're given everything. Everything's handed to you on a plate, really, like everything you could hope for and wish for. And then going out on loan, you kind of see that the clubs outside of the big five, would you say, in Portugal, they've not got the greatest of conditions. So there's kind of learning from that side of it as well, but the main the main aim was, you know, getting minutes in the first division, which at Vitória Setúbal, I was happy to, you know, I finally broke into the team. I think I played 5 or 6 games, and then that loan got cut short. And then Avs, I had ups and downs. Had a good start to the season, but then I got injured, and the managers, we swapped managers a few times, and but it still ended well with us winning the cup. So, you know, there's been ups and downs on all the loan spells I've had. I've just tried to take the positive side out of it.
Yeah, I do feel it's very important in terms of your career. You haven't spent the majority of your time in Portugal just at Sporting, at a top club, where you wouldn't know any difference. You've been on loan to these clubs where things aren't as great, the facilities aren't as great, and, you know, it's not silver spoon treatment all the time. And that moulds you not only as a player, but also as a person. And, you know, when things did get difficult, you always sort of fought through it, and I do think that's admirable. And now we're seeing today, you know, you're flourishing, and, you know, it was only just a matter of time. Now, I just want to talk about the Hibs loan. Now, I've heard you speak about it before, and I know it was, you know, obviously a frustrating time for you. So, just for those listening at home, Ryan, in the midst of these loans in Portugal, also went on loan to Hibs, in his native Scotland. Now, the time at Hibs was hampered by injury, and I know it must have been incredibly frustrating, and Ryan spoke on it before, but I just wanted to add in another question there, Ryan. Do you think it was more frustrating because it was your homecoming, because it was the first time you were returning to Portugal, and you sort of wanted to show, this is Ryan Gaul today, this is what I can do, this is what I'm capable of, and sort of give them a little bit of an update as to what you've been up to since you departed the country in 2014? And just talk me through how you felt at that time at Hibs.
It was definitely frustrating, because I felt like Hibs was a great opportunity and a great platform to kind of show how I've progressed since I left Dundee United. And so it was frustrating that I was never actually properly 100% fit in my time there. Obviously, apart from the first 3 or 4 games until I got the injury. That was really frustrating, but I suppose you've just got to deal with that, things that get thrown at you in football. And luckily, I was, after that loan spell, I was given the opportunity at Firenze.
And that more or less takes us full circle. You speak at the end there about being given a chance by Firenze, who are obviously now your current club. Last season, for those who are listening who aren't too aware, Firenze were magnificent, Ryan was magnificent. They were promoted automatically. They finished second in the Liga Pro, which is the Portuguese second tier. Ryan capped it off with an individual award. He won the division's best player in recognition of his fantastic work. Now, aside from the accolades, aside from the promotion, just how important was that season for you personally as a player, playing week in, week out, and sort of getting your rhythm back?
I think it was huge, because it's the first year that I've actually played week in, week out for a long time. And I was playing a lot of 90 minutes. It was the fittest I think I've ever felt that I've ever been. And that, I think that showed on the pitch, because you could see I was enjoying it. I had my highest scoring season. I'm not too sure on assists. I think I might have had more assists at Dundee United, but I think it was my most productive season, and it gave me the confidence, and the club gave me, they also gave me that confidence to go out and, you know, kind of prove a point that that I could come good, and I was worthy of an opportunity in the first league.
100%. You, as you say there, you wanted a chance in the first division. You didn't move to a club who were in the first division. You know, you were in the second tier, and you helped them get promoted. So it's not a chance you've just been given, it's a chance you've earned. And you must be delighted now to be playing week in, week out. It's the whole reason you came to Portugal. You said before you wanted to come and play week in, week out in the Primeira Liga, and now you've got the opportunity to do so. And it feels like 2014 when you first moved. You know, we're now going towards 2021. It's been a long period of ups and downs. In terms of you as a player, you're still only 24 years of age, which is just, it's baffling, to be honest, because you've been on the scene for that long. And then you think you're not even at your peak yet. You haven't gave the world what I imagine you want to give. Do you think there's a lot more to come from Ryan Gold?
Definitely. I would say I've not reached, you know, where I'd like to think I can reach. You know, I've still got intentions to play at even higher levels than what I'm at just now, and hopefully the best is still to come. And like you said, I'm only 24, and I've had a lot of experiences to kind of build on in the last 6, 7, 8 years. So I'm hopeful that like this confident phase that I'm kind of in, I'm hoping it can continue, and I'll be able to push on even more in my career.
Yeah, it's clear to see. It's clear to hear, rather, when you speak. You can hear the ambition that you've got. You can hear the confidence in your own capability. And as a player, you will know yourself better than anybody else. You'll know what you're truly capable of and the heights that you can reach. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think you've got a lot more to come. Playing fantastically well at the moment. Long may it continue. Now, this does take me on to the inevitable question. The question that I already know the answer to, shall we say. The Scotland national team. So you have played for the Scotland national team up until the under 21 level. At this point in time, you remain uncapped for the senior side. Is that, as I say, it's a question that I already know the answer to, but is that still there in the back of your mind as one of your big aims in football? Like, has that always been there, playing for your country, playing for Scotland?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you ask anyone, any player, you know, what they want to achieve the most, a lot of them would say one of the highest goals is playing for your country. So you know, I've still got plenty of time. I'm still just 24, like we said, but I've still got time to hopefully prove that, you know, I'm worth a call up, and all I can really do is keep my head down and keep working hard like I've been doing the last year and a half or so, and hopefully the results will come as well. But you know, that's out of my hands. I can only keep doing what I've been doing and keep trying to improve myself.
Yeah, as I say, it's one of those, I already knew the answer going into it, but no, it's good to just to hear you talk about wanting to, you know, obviously get your head down and it's out of your hands, but clearly know how much it means to you, and I think, you know, I speak certainly on behalf of myself, and I speak probably on behalf of other Portuguese football supporters. They, you know, they'd be delighted to see you represent your country. As you say, it's something every player or most players want to do, and I don't think it's far away. You're playing week in, week out. Not only are you playing, you're playing well. You're versatile. That's something that I want to get onto now, because seeing you play, you know, out wide, you played up at the top end of the pitch, you play in the number 10, a little bit deeper, you know, pulling strings from deeper in midfield. Where do you see yourself as, not so much your best position, but where do you enjoy playing football the most? What gives Ryan Gold the most joy? Where about on the pitch? And don't just say anywhere. Not that cliche answer of I'll play where the gaffer wants me to.
I think I feel most comfortable, and I think that you see the best of me when I'm playing behind a striker, like a number 10 role. I feel like that's when, you know, you get the most out of me. I don't mind as well playing out wide. I just feel like, you know, I've got more influence on the game when I'm playing in the middle. So I would say that's my preferred position, and also where I think I can give the most
impact the game the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with you. I think it gives you that license to sort of pop up in those pockets and find space. Must be a nightmare for defenders to mark. Just something's just hit me. Can't believe I forgot to bring it up earlier. This is just for the listeners at home, bit of context. When we were speaking about the bad luck, Ryan, he was slipped in a pass against Chuyoav, and he's bearing down on goal. Keeper comes out and he slides it past the keeper. I think he slides it through the keeper's legs. The keeper follows through, clatters Ryan. Ball hits the back of the net, and the ref blows his whistle. And I think most people watching are thinking, yeah, it's a goal. The refs blew his whistle for a foul the other way, and the goal is chalked off. And he couldn't go to VAR because he'd already blown up for the earlier foul. So just Ryan talked me through. We're speaking about some decisions not going your way. I mean, I think everyone in Portugal could see that was a legitimate goal.
Oh, I couldn't believe it at the time. Like, when I seen the ball going in, and then the ref's blown his whistle, and I thought he must be given a penalty or something. But, you know, when you go back and watch it, it kind of gets worse every time. Now, if anything, it was a foul for against me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, that decision went against us, and we were unable to take any into the game, which kind of makes the decision hurt most. Like, if we managed to win 1-0, then it wouldn't be so bad. But losing 1-0, and we had a perfectly good goal chalked off, it was frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know we touched on it at the start of the interview there about some of the decisions not going Ferenc's way. I mean, that was just a massive example. And, you know, we have a little bit of a laugh about it there, but that's only because the decision's gone. You know, the game's finished. There's nothing you can do about this. You've just got to look back and think, you know, that's some seriously poor officiating. But at the time, Ferenc still didn't have their first win. You know, the victory against Boavista hadn't happened yet. So, and as you say, that's at 0-0. You go on and lose the game 1-0. It's incredibly frustrating, and it must be. And even worse for yourself, given that it was you who scored the goal. But that sort of takes us to the end. I always like to ask the same questions at the end of the interview just to get a little bit of insight into your experience as a player. So I always ask, best player you've played against, best player you've played with, and why?
So the best I've played against would probably be Rabiot. We played France under 21s against Adrien Rabiot. I think he's at Juventus now.
Yeah. He was at PSG as well.
I never got near him for 90 minutes. Just that game. And then the best I've played with, Nani would be up there. His quality was just incredible. Individual quality.
Who else
have I played with? The two midfielders in the sporting team when I first went there, Adrian Silva and William Carvalho. They were a very good midfield pairing in training. The way they played together, and also individually, they were both unbelievable. And, you know, I kind of tried to mirror my game a little bit when I first came over on Adrian.
Yeah.
Because in my second year, I was playing the number 8 position, so I was kind of watching him and trying to mirror him. And Pereira, that's at West Brom now. I played with them when they were 17, 18 in the B team. And you could see even then that they were, you know, they were different. They had something about them.
Yeah.
Really talented boys.
Yeah, they're both doing really well. Mateus Pereira, I know, last season did very well in the Championship, and obviously he's now playing in the Premier League. And then Daniel Pedence at Wolves. I think you'll see a lot more of Pedence this season as well, with Diogo Jota moving on to Liverpool. So, yeah, hopefully we see more of him because he's such a talented player as well. But sort of brings us to the end of our interview there. So, again, I'd just like to say thank you for taking the time out to speak to me, to speak to Prosima Jornada, and I'm sure our listeners and readers will be, you know, excited to listen to this. I've got no doubt that when things go back to normal, we'll catch up again, perhaps at the end of the season. But good luck for the rest of the campaign, and yeah, we'll be watching on with great interest.
Yeah, perfect. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So there you have it. That's the Prossima Giornata interview with Ryan Gold. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoy conducting it. He's a, you know, a fantastic person, a fantastic player. And I know the audio experience might not have been 10 out of 10. Obviously, I was on loudspeaker. We were chatting on the phone. Again, one of the negatives to not being able to conduct a face-to-face interview. But hopefully the re-recording of several questions on my end helped the experience a little bit. If you enjoyed the podcast, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, on Apple Music, you can rate the podcast. You can give it stars. You know, we'd love it if you could give it 5 stars and leave a little review. Or if you're listening on any other streaming service, device, whatever, share it, tweet it, you know, get it out there. The more listens, the better. But yeah, that's the Prossima Giornata podcast, and that's episode 2. The Prossima Giornata interview with Ryan Gold. Thank you for listening. Take care, and make sure to join us on the next episode of the Prossima Giornata podcast. Hello and welcome to episode number 2 of the Prossima Giornata podcast with me, Adam Barton. Now today's episode will be the interview that we recently conducted with SC Firenze's Ryan Gold, and it was a great experience to get in the mind of an intelligent, supremely talented footballer. He, at just 24 years of age, has already been through so much, moving to Portugal at a young age and sort of taking that decision, a leap of faith, to move to a new country to learn a new language. And when things didn't go well, to go out on loan and sort of develop as not only as a footballer but as a person. It's a fantastic interview, and that's a credit to Ryan. He's very honest and he's very frank about his assessment on himself, his decisions and also his experiences. Just a word on the audio quality. It was a phone conversation on loudspeaker recorded between myself and Ryan. It wasn't initially intended to be released as a podcast, but just as a written interview, which you can read now on prossima-giornata.com. However, I've went through the process of re-recording my questions, and also I've tried to clean Ryan's audio as best as I can. Ryan was travelling at the time, so it was on loudspeaker, so there's bound to be interference in the background, and there's times when his audio goes a little bit quiet and then it might shoot up in volume, so I do apologise for that, but it shouldn't detract from the quality of the interview. He, as I say, was a fantastic guest, and I won't give too much of the interview away. I hope that you enjoy it. Thank you again to Ryan and Ryan's team for allowing it to happen. And thank you for listening.